Good morning. So today we're going to talk about the continuation of the holiday of Pesach, Passover, the seventh day of Pesach, and in fact, why we have Pesach for 7 days. We know that the Exodus from Egypt, leaving Egypt, happened in one day, obviously. They took the morning of the first day of Pesach, the Jews left Egypt, and that's when they left in a hurry, and that's when their matzah didn't bake into fluffy bread, into leavened bread, but was left with matzah. And of course, but that's why we celebrate the Seders, in order to celebrate the Exodus from Egypt, in order to celebrate leaving the house of slavery, the place of affliction and suffering and torture. And that's why we celebrate the beginning of Pesach. The question is, why is Pesach, why is the holiday of Passover for 7 days? What do we keep celebrating for 7 days? And why does the Torah say to celebrate for 7 days? In history, what happened was that when the Jews left Egypt, after going for 3 days, the Torah tells us, Paro wakes up and says that the Jews are escaping. What does this mean? Moshe had never told Paro that he wants to leave full stop and not come back. It turns out, when you read the story in the Chumash, every time Moshe came to Paro and said, let my people go worship Hashem, he didn't say, we're going to leave and not come back. He said, we're basically going to take a furlough. We're going to take a vacation. We're just going to go worship our God in the desert. Why Moshe says we have to go worship God in the desert? Why can't we worship God right here in Egypt? So this he says in the Torah, he says, because we're going to slaughter animals. And the animals that we slaughter are animals that you Egyptians venerate, that you worship, that you idolize. All kinds of livestock. The Egyptians used to venerate the lambs and the cows and so on. And Moshe said that our God wants us to offer up these animals. And therefore, we have to leave Egypt. And we have to do this service specifically in the desert, not to insult you. So let us leave. And Paro, of course, said no, 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 until finally the 10th plague. He had no choice. He was completely beaten into submission. And he lets the Jews leave. Now, when the Jews left, Paro had sent spies together with the people to see, are they going to, in fact, come back after they worship God in the desert, or are they going to continue going? The spies came back and told Paro that the Jews have no intention whatsoever of coming back to Egypt, and in fact, they are leaving. And Paro then harnessed, the Torah tells us, the Chumash tells us, harnessed his remaining chariots, 600 chariots, chased after the Jews, and caught us at the bank of the Red Sea. And that's where the great miracle happened, that the sea split. The Jews went into the sea on dry land. The Egyptians followed on the dry land. But by the time the Jewish people had left the sea, gotten out of the sea already, the Egyptians were still there. The water came crashing down and killed the rest of Paro's army. This happened on the seventh day after the Jews left Egypt. And that's why Pesach is 7 days, because the first day, therefore, celebrates the Exodus from Egypt, the actual leaving. And the seventh day celebrates the splitting of the sea and the consequent decimation and final destruction of Paro's remaining forces, so that now the Jews really were able to feel secure that Paro had no army, could not chase after them, and could no longer pose any threat to them. It's like this bad movie where, you know, the monster or whatever it is, the bad guy, is chasing the person and you running away, and you manage to knock him into submission, knock him out, but then somehow he wakes up and chases you again, and then you smack him a second time, and then you really knock him out, you kill him for good, and now you cut him into smithereens or whatever it is, whatever, which depending which which storyline, which movie, all the same storylines. The second time you knock him out for good, now you can rest secure. So that's what happened. Beginning of Pesach, the Jews left Egypt, but the threat of Paro was still very real. And the end of Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, is when the Egyptians were finally completely subdued, completely decimated. The Egyptian army was drowned in the sea. So this is logical. Why we should, therefore, knowing this history, it's logical why we should celebrate Pesach for 7 days. The question the Alter Rebbe asks on this story is, and this is a continuation from the talk we gave last week, is why should we eat matzah for 7 days? The Torah says, in the Chumash it says, Shivas Yamin for 7 days, matzos techele, you should eat matzahs. Why should we be forbidden to eat chametz for 7 days? In other words, it seems from the way the Torah gives us the prescription for celebrating the holiday, that it's not just that we're celebrating two discrete, two separate events, although those events are connected. Event number one, leaving Egypt. Event number two, seeing the final destruction of the Egyptian army. The way the Torah tells us to celebrate Pesach today is by not eating chametz for the 7 days, and in fact, by eating matzah. There's no obligation to eat matzah, but if you want to have something made out of wheat, this and that has to be matzah. So why, the Alter Rebbe asks, is there a mitzvah to make a unit of 7 days when chametz is forbidden and matzah should be eaten? Why not just celebrate the first day and then celebrate the last day? And in the middle, there shouldn't be any restrictions. Why is the unit of Pesach 7 days? The Alter Rebbe explains, we spoke last time about the concept of eating matzah. But the idea of eating matzah is a physical manifestation. That means a physical feeling, a physical bringing into the physical world Hashem's special energies that ordinarily are not accessible. Extreme amounts of spiritual energy Hashem was able to give to us when we left Egypt. And the eating of matzah, we explained last time, which matzah is a bread that is not rising, it's not full of air, it symbolizes, and it points to the concept of submission, humility, being completely given over to something. So when we are completely given over to Hashem, then we are able to access and to receive extra energies from Hashem. Everybody understands this. You're sitting in class and you're not paying attention. Well, can't understand what the teacher says. The more you pay attention, assuming that the concepts are explained and so on, obviously, sometimes a concept just with no explanation, not on the person's level. But when you're paying attention, you're sitting in class, then you're able to, the more you pay attention to what somebody is, somebody's telling you a story, you're not paying attention. And you say, what? I don't know what happened. I missed the whole story. So that's what happens. So Hashem gives us energies. The energies that Hashem gives us require us to be connected, require us to show some level of bittul, submission, self-nullification, and that is symbolized by matzah. So that's what the Alter Rebbe basically explained about the concept of eating matzah itself. But now we have to go a little further and explain what is so special about the splitting of the sea, and why, in fact, did it take 7 days for the sea to split? And why do we have the mitzvah of eating matzah for 7 days, prohibition against chametz for 7 days? Why is this way? So a couple of introductions. We have spoken in Tanya about the idea, the belief from the Zohar, belief from the Gemara, from all of Jewish writings, and in fact, this comes straight from the Chumash, at the very beginning, that the world is a creation, an emanation the product of Hashem's energy coming down from the highest of levels and producing a physical world. We understand that. The world is Hashem's energy. The world doesn't exist on its own. The physical world, the universe, is God created the universe. It says in the Torah, Bereishis bara Elokim, God created the world. And what this means that Hashem created the world is Hashem took his energy and made that energy physical. But by bringing it down level after level after level, the highest of spiritual energies became physical. We call this mazel. You wish somebody a mazel tov, good mazel. You wish somebody to have mazel. What does mazel mean? So in Hebrew, the word mazel means a flow of energy. In Hebrew, the word for liquid is nozel, something that flows from a higher to a lower level. Liquid finds the lowest level. Water finds the lowest level. You take water and you put it on top of the table, it will eventually find the lowest level. And if it falls off, the cup falls off the table, the water will go down, not stay on the table, will go on the floor, will go on the floor, will go in the basement. If you have a neighbor underneath you, or an apartment, will go to that apartment. Enough water will go down, down, down to the lowest level. So nozel, which is something that flows, means it comes from the highest of levels to the lower levels. And when we wish somebody you should have a good mazel, it's not the same thing as saying good luck. Luck is chance. Luck is just because. Mazel means completely different concept. Mazel means Hashem's energy transmission, Hashem's energy flow. So when we Jews say mazel tov, good luck, we don't say good luck. We say good receiving. May you receive Hashem's energy flow. May the flow of energy come to you. Or in the language of a famous movie quote, may the force be with you. May Hashem's energy be with you. And that's what mazel tov means. May you have good energy flow. May you receive the energy from above. This, the Gemara tells us, of course, this is inherent in the Chumash. The Chumash says Hashem created. When Hashem created, it means Hashem gave his energy and created. That's the literal meaning. What else does it mean, Hashem created? The Gemara says that every single blade of grass has an energy that is connecting it to its source in heaven and that is giving it life. And if the blade of grass is not receiving energy from that energy source, the blade of grass doesn't grow. This is a blade of grass, for sure, an animal, for sure, a human, and for sure, the whole world. So every single thing is connected to energy flow from the higher levels. And this, again, is what it means Hashem creates. Hashem constantly recreates. The Alter Rebbe explains to us in Tanya, Hashem constantly sends this transmission. It's not a one-time transmission that happened when the world was first created. It is a constant process that is happening again and again. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, not in these words, obviously, but in the today's terminology, the world is a hologram. The world is a constant state of Hashem's energy being transmitted again and again and again. The Rebbe gives the analogy of light that flows from a light source. So this is what the world is. The world is an energy flow from the highest of levels until it comes down to a physical world. Hashem wants that we, the Jewish nation, should recognize this. That's what Hashem wants. It could be that we should just go and God should give and we should not know about it. But Hashem loves us. Hashem, the Torah says, Ahavti eschem amar Hashem. Hashem says, I love you. If you love somebody, you want that they should know all about you. You want that they should know what it is that you're doing for them, if you're doing something for them. So Hashem says to us, the Jewish people, I want that you should recognize that I am the creator. I want that you should feel the energy that I'm giving you. I want that you should see with your eyes that it is me that's giving you your life. This is a gift that Hashem gives only to the Jewish people. Initially, it was supposed to be to all people, but the people worshiped idols, and Hashem therefore chose Abraham to be this level of individual, and then his children after him, and then eventually the Jews that left Egypt, that we should have this gift, that we should be able to recognize who our life comes from where our life and our energy comes. And this is a special gift that Hashem gives to the Jewish people. This gift was first given to us when we left Egypt. And that's what it means that in the language, in the Hebrew, language that we recite in the Haggadah, Nigle Aleihem was revealed to us, Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings, the Holy One, blessed be He, was revealed to us when we left Egypt. That's what the Haggadah tells us. That's what we read during the nights of the Seder. He says we were in Egypt. We were stuck in a place of slavery. We were stuck in a place of bondage and affliction. And then we were treated. We had this extreme privilege of having this flash, this amazing energy download that Nigla Aleihem Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, our creator, revealed himself to us, that we should be able to appreciate and understand where our life comes from and who our patron is, who our boss is, who we are. You know, you have kids, Nebuch, who were given up for adoption, whatever it is. And then they're searching for their parents, they're searching for, you know, what any kind of information on their DNA, this is the story of the human condition in general. The human condition, we are seekers as humans, to old people. We want to know. The Jews are actually given the information that who is our Father in heaven, who is Melech Malchim, and who is our King, is Hashem. Not only the information, but also the ability to see that and to appreciate it. That's what the Jews received when they left Egypt. Now that was a flash. That was a flash. That means that at that moment, we had a vision, we had a flash. But the idea is that the Jewish nation should not just have a flash and something in the past that we don't experience again and again. The idea is that we should be on this level of connectedness, this level of realization, of awareness, of spiritual awareness, feeling your neshama, feeling your spiritual energy, that we should be on this level all the time. And in order to do that, Hashem gave us, God gave us a number of exercises to do, and in fact revealed this level in a gradual process so that we should actually be at that level. What that means is you can show someone a picture, but if that individual is not on the level to fully understand it, then all you see is a picture, but you don't have an understanding. Whereas if you take somebody up through the levels of understanding and teach them the concepts, the fundamentals of whatever it is that you're talking about, and eventually they understand themselves, then you don't have to show them pictures anymore. Then they say, I'll show you a picture. I'll draw you the picture. I'll tell you how the house works. I'll tell you how the machine works. I'll tell you how the science works. You don't have to show me a diagram and tell me this is it is. This is how it is and accept it. Now I understand. And of course, this is the way it is. I can explain it to you. Hashem wants that we, the Jewish people, should be on that level. And that was, in fact, the level that the Jews were at when we received the Torah 7 weeks after leaving Egypt. Through the preparations of 7 weeks preparation, we actually reached that highest of levels. We were able to stand at Mount Sinai. We were able to receive Hashem's energy. We were able to clearly see. But that was still to be 7 weeks away. 1 week after leaving Egypt, the Jews were already 7 days into being developed. And as we know from Tanya, there are seven sefirot. There are seven levels from the 10 sefirot. There are seven sefirot that are considered to be the emotional sefirot, the sefirot that actually direct how we act, whereas the first three of the ten spheros are sort of preparations for how to act, is sort of understanding how you're supposed to act. The second grouping, which is the first grouping is three, the next grouping is seven, total of ten. So the grouping of seven actually is mechanisms for how to act. So the 7 days, counting the first day of Pesach until the seventh day of Pesach, we already worked through these seven levels. We were able to develop ourselves to the extent that now we were ready for another jolt of energy. Now we were ready for another revelation, another peek behind the curtain, another deeper, much deeper appreciation of Hashem's presence in our lives. And that is the splitting of the sea. So the Alter Rebbe explains to us that the concept of a yam, of a sea, versus the concept of what's called in Hebrew yabasha, which means dry land. What's the difference between a sea and dry land? Well, the obvious difference is there's a lot of stuff on the land. There's a lot of stuff in the ocean. In the ocean, you can't see it. It's covered with water. On dry land, even though there may be a lot of stuff, but standing anywhere on dry land, you could take a look and see the houses, you can see the people, you see the animals, you see the trees, because it's not covered with water, plain and simple. In the ocean, you also have trees and mountains and you have rocks and the animals and all kinds of coral and all kinds of stuff. As far as we're concerned, we don't know any of that until you go, scuba diving or whatever. You don't know anything because it looks like water. It looks all covered up. This is an analogy. The Torah speaks in poetry. The Torah speaks in analogies, in language that we can understand. So when the Torah says the sea was split and turned into dry land, what the Torah really means, the Alter Rebbe says, is the levels of spiritual energy that were previously inaccessible, meaning we couldn't understand, we didn't have an appreciation for them because they were simply too far removed from our abilities to grasp what's happening, those levels became revealed. So the splitting of the sea, the Alter Rebbe says, means that the fact that the Jews witnessed and experienced the splitting of the sea here in this physical world is simply an indication that the spiritual energies, which were previously called sea, meaning they're covered up, an ocean covered up, inaccessible, those spiritual energies are now accessible, understandable, able to be revealed, able to be seen, able to be appreciated. Again, we can see our Creator's energies. We can appreciate where we come from, who our mother is, who our father is, where our energy is from, what our connection is to Hashem. This is incredible, incredibly powerful stuff. We know that if we have clarity, if we have appreciation for what our where our energies come from, then we're superhumans. We're super motivated, we're supercharged, we're super connected. Everybody understands this. If you clearly see the effect of what you're doing and the cause that you have on other things, you would act in a completely different way. The only reason we have this cognitive dissonance going on, which is the human condition, is because we say, you tell me logically that if I eat this, it's going to cause this, and if I do this, it's going to make this person happy. And this is all logical. But I don't really see it. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter if I show up or I don't show up, if I do this, if I don't do this, if I wake up, if I go to sleep, it doesn't make a difference. But if we were to see clearly that every single thing that we do, if we were able to see the so-called butterfly effect, we were able to see the effect that we have by our actions on the world around us, on the people around us, on people perhaps on the other side of the world, boy, would we act differently. Boy, would we be motivated and energized to be a superhuman, super unbelievable people. And that goes for our actions and also goes for our receiving of energy. If we were to be able to see the energy where it comes from, we would have a totally different appreciation of our religion, of Hashem, of mitzvahs, of the world, totally different look on everything. The great tzaddikim, obviously, they've worked on themselves to reach that level, but the great, great tzaddikim are able to see the energies. For the great tzaddikim, they have no yetzer hara, they have no evil inclination. Yes, because they killed their evil inclination, whatever they're born with. Yes, because they have worked on themselves to the point where they're totally, you know, disciplined and self-disciplined and whatever, but also because they see the effect, they understand, they put it together. You speak to a person who understands economics, let's say, and if they're not deluded, if they're not, stuck in all kinds of different other addictions and problems that cause, again, this cognitive dissonance, this acting not in accord with how you understand, then, of course, they're never going to make a wrong decision. The person that has clarity is never going to eat something bad, never going to make a wrong decision, never going to say a bad word, never going to do it. He's going to be superhuman. Hashem wants this from every single Jew. And the holiday of Pesach, which is called Zaman Cheruseinu, the time, literally it means the time of our freedom. Freedom doesn't mean that somebody else isn't knocking you on the head. Freedom doesn't mean that somebody else isn't locking you up in chains. Freedom means you're not locking yourself up in chains. You are not stopping yourself from being your best self, your most spiritual self, your most connected self. Freedom, first and foremost, means that you are not the individual himself and herself is not tied to any kind of external issue that's stopping you from being what you really know intellectually you should be. That is true freedom. A person that has that level of connectedness, that level of self-discipline, even if that person is sitting in a jail, God forbid, that person is not enslaved. That person is ultimately the most free individual, the most person that's the most incredibly connected individual. And therefore, this is what the gift that Hashem gives us on Pesach is this ability to access our true inner selves, to access our neshama powers, to access our connection to Hashem. This process took 7 days. The process from the leaving of Egypt initially, from escaping the outward bondage until the splitting of the sea, which means escaping the inward bondage, the fact that we ourselves have covered up from ourselves knowledge of our neshama, the fact that we are ourselves covering up, covering our eyes and not realizing, not recognizing. And sometimes it's not that we're covering our eyes, we just simply can't see it. You simply can't see the spirituality that's right, you know, that really is right there all the time. That process took 7 days. The Alter Rebbe explains that initially in the Exodus from Egypt, the Jews had incredible booster power. The booster power was they had Moshe with them. They had Aaron with them. They had the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, Hashem's energy with them. So then, during the first Pesach, they were only not allowed to eat chametz on the first day. Yes, it still took 7 days until the final revealing of Hashem's energy that is symbolized by the opening up of the sea, the splitting of the sea turning into dry land, the previously concealed connection to Hashem, energies of Hashem, that were then revealed and able to be felt. But at the end of the day, they still had all of these powerful. Today, however, the Alter Rebbe says, the Torah wants us to work through this process ourselves. We don't have Moshe to spoon feed it to us, and Aaron to spoon feed it, and the clouds of glory to just give it to us as a download, just like that. Yes, the energy is available. Yes, the download's available, but Hashem wants us to be on that level ourselves and to work through it ourselves. In order to work through it ourselves, it takes us 7 days. And we have to not eat matzah, not eat rather chametz for 7 days, eat matzah for 7 days. By us today eating matzah, which is the food of self-abnegation, not feeling yourself, connectedness to higher power and not to yourself, getting rid of your ego, getting rid of the you, and only talking about the God, so to speak, use that language. But get talking about the thou, talking about Hashem. This is the concept of Pesach. This is what Pesach does. This is what Passover does for us. So we work through the 7 days, and by keeping the laws of against eating chametz and by eating matzah. And then finally we reach the seventh day. This is the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, splitting of the sea. And the energies that were revealed to us then are revealed to us again. And this again is a concept we spoke about last time that is an incredibly important concept to recognize. The Jewish holidays are not simply remembrances of the past. If they were, that would also be a good reason to celebrate, to be thankful for the past. But they're not. The Jewish holidays are reenactments and, in fact, reliving of the energies that happened in the past that caused the initial miracle to happen. And Hashem gives us these energies every year in a yet greater measure. So when the Jews left Egypt 3,335 years ago in the year 2448, we're now 5783, so it's 35 years ago. When the Jews left Egypt, they received these energies. We, in fact, are receiving these energies today. All we have to do is prepare ourselves. All we have to do is open up our eyes. All we have to do is recognize that they're there, and then we can feel them. Obviously, you know, not the same way, because we are still in Golos. We're still in exile. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We have lots of other issues that are preventing the energy from really flowing to us. But if we had the Beis HaMikdash, if we were not in the time of exile, if Mashiach was here in the way that Mashiach needs to be here, then we would, in fact, feel these energies that are right there at our fingertips. And that's exactly what we're praying for. So part of the Haggadah service, of course, is we're asking for Eliyahu HaNavi to come, Elijah the prophet to come. We're asking for Mashiach to come. We're asking for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt, the temple to be rebuilt, so that we should see all these things that are. Imagine you're standing in a room. Person says, I wish I had something to eat. I'm starving. Meanwhile, the only problem is that it's dark and you don't realize that right in front of you on the table is this amazing 17-course meal of all kinds of foods that's your favorite foods in the world. Or imagine a person says, I wish I had money. I'm so poor, I can't afford my rent and my this, who knows what. And you don't even realize that if you just open up your drawer, there's a whole sack of gold waiting there for you. The same is true of these energies. They're right at our fingertips. We can't see them. In this sense, we're blind. In this sense, we're mute. In this sense, we're deaf. We can't see, we can't hear, we can't feel, we can't understand. The energies are there. And when Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash is here, we will then be able to access them. So we, in fact, hope and we pray to Hashem that this seventh day of Pesach, Shvi Yishol Pesach, which is this Tuesday night and Wednesday, was the seventh day of Pesach, and Thursday, the eighth day of Pesach, we talk about Mashiach again. And that's another thing that I want to conclude and mention to you, that the eighth day of Pesach is considered to be the day of celebration of Mashiach. And we read the Haftorah, the special additional reading from the prophets that we read after reading the Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, talking about Isaiah chapter 11, the chapter from the book of Yeshayahu, book of Isaiah, that talks about what happens when Mashiach comes, all the miracles about what happens to the world when Mashiach comes. We're going to read in the Haftorah for the eighth day of Pesach. Why, in fact, is it the eighth day of Pesach? Because the eighth day is the miraculous day. Seven is nature. Eight is one more than the ordinary, one more than nature. And according to one of the great, great commentaries, that's according to the commentary called Rashba, one of the great, one of our great sages from the from 800 roughly years ago. According to the great rabbi, who was called the Kli Yakar, the Ephraim Lunches, who lived 500 years ago, 450 years ago, he writes that eight is seven plus one. That means Hashem, who's the one, is on top of the seven, on top of the world. Either way you look at it, eight is the concept of miracle, because that's when Hashem's presence is. What is a miracle? Miracle means that you're clearly able to see that God is in charge. Nature is something that happens all the time. You think it happens all the time. Is God looking at me? I don't know. But a miracle happens. Oh yeah, God is now with me. Hashem is looking at me. So a miracle, the concept of miracle is simply the concept, the idea that we have clarity, which brings us back to what we were talking about before, that what is this, the great gift and the great hope that Hashem has for us. Hashem wants us, the Jewish people, to have clarity, to have connectedness, to understand and recognize that we and Hashem are, in fact, one, that our energy comes from God, and we are protected by Hashem. We're called the Ben Bechor, the firstborn son. That's what Moshe was told to say to Paro. Hashem tells Paro, go tell, Hashem tells Moshe, rather, go tell Paro, you have enslaved my firstborn son. Now send my firstborn son out to serve me, to worship me. And Moshe goes and says this, Bni Bechori Yisrael. We are called the firstborn son, the most beloved son. That's what all the Jews, every single Jew is called. And Hashem wants us to recognize that, just the way a parent wants. Imagine you have a kid, grows up, moves away, forgets that you're their mother. How painful is that? Forgets that you're the father. How painful is that? Hashem wants that we should recognize that He is our Father, He is our Mother, He is our energy source, and we are connected to Him. And in order to do that, Hashem gives us these holidays. And specifically now, we're talking about the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of the seventh day of Pesach, when Hashem reveals His connectedness to us, His energy flow, and the fact and how He gives us life and so on. And when we celebrate the holidays according to the prescription, according to the way the Torah says, we're in fact able to tie in and buy in and open ourselves up a little bit to feeling that energy itself.